Today on Real Radio.
The Christian has no business whatsoever in looking back. Did you know that? In fact, we are commanded in the Bible to not look back. Jesus said, any man who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. It's the Old Testament book named after the man who led God's people in the retaking of the Promised Land. We're in chapter 23 now, the second to the last chapter in this book, and Joshua is becoming quite advanced in years. He's becoming an old man, so he gathers the leaders of Israel together to remind them of the numerous times that their God has kept his promises. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called, How Then Should We Be Living?
Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that as we're living in these last days, seeing that all of these elements of this world, the atomic structure, is going to be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be? When our homes are going to be destroyed by the judgment of the age, the cars will come apart, gold will perish, silver will rot. The Bible says that all of the physical tangible elements of this world in God's final judgment will be dissolved. And Peter says, well, if that's the case, then what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, he goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says that we should be living holy lives. Holy, the word means dedicated to God, lives that are dedicated to him. And every one of us are dedicated to something or someone. Just a moment ago, we dedicated these children unto the Lord. But there comes a point in time when these children will have to grow up and make decisions for themselves. And they're going to decide every day, like you and I do, to be dedicated to God. We make decisions. And the challenge this morning and the challenge for the rest of our lives as believers is how many of those decisions are we making with Jesus Christ being the focal point of the path that we decide to take? Well, every one of us today, even today, we will have to make decisions to either be holy, dedicated to God, or unholy. And I don't mean that we're going to, you know, paint our faces black and put mud in our head and hair and act all ugly and mean. But unholy would mean that we choose the wrong path. We're not walking in the right way. That we'll decide to go against God. And we would never say, Lord, I'm just doggone it. I'm going to go against you right now. We would never say that, but it could be through emotion, it could be through the pressure of the moment, it could be through anxiety, it could be because we haven't maybe been praying or reading, there's a moment of spiritual laziness or laxity, and we err from that dedication of holiness, being dedicated to God. You're praying that God in these last days would send a revival of holiness. It sounds so archaic and it sounds so old and dusty, but the fact of the matter is that without holiness, none of us are going to see the Lord. So what does this word mean? We saw last time in our study together, and I know you took notes, right? You can run right down your note list with me. That last time in chapter 22, we saw that it requires of us to be obedient to the will of God. And we gave a hard message about that. It was directed to the believer, as chapter 23 is, as chapter 24 is. So was chapter 22, that we are to be obedient to the will of God. If we name the name of Christ, we're to be obedient to him. We saw also that we're to be living a life of joy. God wants us to live a life of Christian joy. And we'll do that as we walk in obedience with him. It's just pleasure. Chariots of Fire. Remember that old movie? You ought to rent that movie. That's a true event, by the way. You can read about it in the encyclopedia, where those two men, one was a Jewish man and one was a Christian, and one man ran out of trying to be good enough and faithful enough and hard enough and well-trained enough that he would win the gold medal in the Olympics. The other man was a Christian, and he said, Lord, just do with me as you want. And he had Jesus as his prize, and the other man had self-performance as his prize, and they came up against each other in the Olympics, and they ran. And the Christian brother, if I remember the event, won that race. I'm not sure. You have to look in the encyclopedia again of that. I think it's 1926 Olympics or whatever it was. But a comment was made by that brother, and he said, "When I run, I sense his pleasure." Isn't that great? When you live, do you and I sense his pleasure? I hope you get up tomorrow morning and say, "Lord, I know you're with me." He is, you know. Even if you're not a Christian this morning, maybe you're just here to fill things out, test it, see if it's for real. God's been with you all your life. We'll talk about that more later. We also saw in verses 10 through 12 of chapter 22 that we're to be acting out God's love in this world. The Bible says, as Jesus was, so are we in this life. That means that the world is going to see real, true, unselfish love. It's got to come from us. It's not going to come from anybody else. In verses 13 to 20, we saw that grace is to be flowing forth to our brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we learned there that grace is to be extended to our brothers and sisters who have fallen down in the faith. You know anybody who's fallen down, skinned and bruised their knees spiritually? Maybe they fell into sin and they departed from the Lord, and now they want to come back, or they need to come back, or they should come back. How are we to act? We're to be extending grace to them, inviting them to come back to Jesus quickly. Grace should flow to our brothers and sisters from us. We saw in verses 21 to 29 that we're to be having faithfulness toward God, not faithfulness toward men. I can't be faithful enough for you. I can't. I'm one little man. You can't be faithful enough for me. And if you and I hook our meaning to that, we're going to be terribly disappointed. But if we hook our faithfulness to God, he'll never let us down. In verses 30 to 31, we saw that we are the ones to be forgiving in this life. If people are going to be forgiven, it comes from the Christian. Now listen, we stressed this last time. God said to us, forgive those who have wronged us, lest Christ won't forgive us. And you might say, well, I was hurt so bad by that person or by that group or by that whatever, and I'm really justified in my pain. You may be. But God commands you to forgive that person or those people who have wronged you. Why? So that you can continue to grow. Well, I don't want to give them forgiveness. If you love yourself as the Lord tells you to in the right manner, you better forgive them. Ask God to give you the forgiveness to forgive them so you can continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Because if we hold bitterness in our hearts and in our lives, it will destroy us. The friend or the old friend, the no longer friend that you're holding this grudge against, he'll go off fine. You'll be the one grieved. Give it up. Forgive. And finally, we saw in chapter 22, verses 32 to 34, that we are to be living this holy life, dedicated to God. I am a Christian, we should say, if it's true. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to follow his word, and may the grace of God bear me up when I come short, but I'm going to follow him. And that means to have a life dedicated to God, which brings us right now to our first point in the chapter of chapter 23, of this message, part two, of how then should we be living? And we should be living this way, verses 1 through 4. We should be remembering back to what God has done. Jot it down if you would. Point number one, there's four of them this morning. Point one, remember back to what God has done. It says here, now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age. Chapter 13 of this book says this. And Joshua was old and advanced in age, and God said, Joshua, you are old and advanced in age. Don't you love that? How did God tell him that? Joshua, you are one old dude. And you're advanced in age. Or like me, when you get up in the morning and your back cracks, was it the back that said, Joshua, we are old? You know, how did God tell him that? Well, he's old, and a patriarch is speaking to us. Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 15 that all these things that have been written in the Word of God, all these things written have been written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So how does the book of Joshua, how does this chapter, how do these points apply to you and I? Because God gave us this book thousands of years ago that we might learn how to walk in our life today as Christians, that we need to be remembering back. We're going to talk on a few things about how we remember back. So he's old and up there in years, and he speaks this to them. It says, verse 3, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, or behold, or look, verse 4, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward, or the Mediterranean Sea. So the first thing we want to see here right now is that Joshua is calling them to remembrance. That we're to remember back, and I want you to make a mental note of this. There's a great difference, Christian, in remembering back and looking back. Remembering back to what God has done will lift you up out of that pit of despair or of that loneliness or emptiness or wherever you're at, and it will bring you up. Looking back will tear you down. The Christian has no business whatsoever in looking back. Did you know that? In fact, we are commanded in the Bible to not look back. Jesus said, any man who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because if you're looking back like Lot's wife, you are looking back at a world, at a life, at an existence that you can either A, you think you can benefit from, or B, you want to go back to, or C, you would like to rewrite. Did you hear that? I'm more concerned about C than any of the other two. There's this thing that's going on, and it's infiltrated the Christian church, that if I just go back and relive my past, I can right the wrongs and I'll be okay, and then I can deal with all those people in my life. That is absolutely false doctrine, and I promise you, I make you a promise that you will not succeed. I meet with people day in and day out, and their analyst or their psychologist or their well-meaning friend says, go back and relive those moments and deal with it, and you'll have victory. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Why? I have been apprehended. That is, he hasn't reached that goal yet for why Christ has caught him. But this one thing I do, this is Paul's most important thing. I forget those things that are behind me, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead, pressing toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God, which is in Christ. Therefore, let us, as many are as mature, have this mind in them. You want to grow? You take all the wrong that you and I have gone through, all of the shortcomings, the pain. Christian, listen, I am excited about this because there's freedom in this. Remember back what God has done for you. But if you look back without God, you'll begin to blame your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your school teacher, your pastor, your whatever it was back there that bummed you out and ripped you off. You will never have that back to rectify. Never. It's left into the sovereign hands of God and God alone. What are we called to do? We are to remember God in the midst of our lives. Joshua says, look back. Without God, and you'll perish. Remember back, and you know what you do? You start writing journals. I have an old lab notebook when I used to work at Baxter. And that notebook was also, it had a dual function. It was a personal I'm not going to say diary, wasn't, you know, top secret, but I wrote things in there. Wrote things about the home Bible study on Monday nights. This is what's going on, you know, and 14 people are coming, da-da-da-da-da, you know. You look back and you go, Lord, this morning, because I knew what the message is going to be, you guys are singing and I'm thinking, we sang the song, I Will Serve You Because I Love You. Remember that song? And I remember back. And it's like, Lord, you're awesome. If you start looking back, it's, my life stinketh. This is wrong. That was wrong. I must have freckles because my parents left me out in the sun too long. I wasn't breastfed long enough, or maybe I was breastfed too long. I wasn't walked much as a child. I mean, on and on you go. I didn't have frequent and regular diaper changes, so now I have this fixation with, you know, Pizza Hut, or I don't know what it is, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's so powerful. Some of you know painfully what I'm talking about, and you're mad at me right now. You want to hang on to your past because that's the only victory that you have, is you can blame what's wrong on them. You know what, my friend? You're going to kill yourself. You ever been to a convalescent home? Go to a convalescent home and see the pain in people's faces who have been bitter all their lives and they've lost. It's not worth it. Joshua says, remember. Look what God has done. Remember. In Isaiah chapter 46, I'm going to give you this verse to help you. It helps me. In Isaiah chapter 46, the Bible says, remember this day and show yourselves to be men. Recall this to your mind, you transgressors. That's how God talks. Oh, you sinner. Stand up and remember something here. Remember the former things of old, for I am the Lord God. There's none like me. I am God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not yet happened. And I say this, my counsel shall stand and I will do what I please. With all due respect, I see God like this, putting his hand on his hip, saying, I will do what I please. Now, that blesses your heart if you're a Christian. That blesses your heart if you want to walk with God. God says, I'm going to do what I please. And you say, Lord, do it, because you are so good. Even in the midst of difficulty. The great missionary leader A.T. Pearson once said, history is his story. Remember that. What's happened in your life? God has known about it. Call things to remembrance. Those of you who have come to know Jesus Christ, you know, it's amazing. If you think about it, if you and I walk in this state of remembering what God has done, it seems to me that God would have to nail us down to the ground to keep us from flying off this earth. Because you know what? When you were a non-Christian, most of the stuff I'm convinced we didn't know about, but did you ever pass through that intersection and almost get hit? Did you almost get on that plane that crashed? Divine appointment. Every one of our lives are a divine appointment. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I'm not a Christian. I have no desire. I don't want anything to do with God. I was bribed here. I'm only tolerating this because I get lunch afterwards. Listen, God has been with you. Now, you may end your days in eternity without him because you've frankly asked him to leave you alone, and so he will. But right now, he has been pleading, walking, and nurturing you along, though you may not even know who he is. Paul the Apostle said something about this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb. I tell you, that's pretty cool. Start to put God in the middle of your situation, that God separated you and I from our mother's womb. You may say, well, I was given up for adoption. God separated you from your mother's womb. I was an abortion and I survived. God separated you from your mother's womb. You see, as a Christian now, all of our excuses, they just go away in the awesome hand of God. Call to remembrance what he's done. And so I thought about this with the children of Israel. on Friday the 13th, which is one of the Christians' most awesome days, the death angel came through Egypt and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. That was on Friday the 13th. That's why it's a bad day in the world. Did you know that? That's a bad day. Not for the Christian. Not for the Jew. For the unbelieving world, it's a bad day. That was on Friday the 13th in Egypt. To do what? To deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh's tyranny. What was your Egypt? Who was your Pharaoh that he has delivered you from? What about this? God led them through the Red Sea. What difficulties in life has God led you through? See, you can look at them as something to look back at and be bummed about, or you can remember now what God has brought you through. And it changes everything. In fact, personally, as a Christian, I believe that I am commanded to remember and not to look back. God protected them in the wilderness wanderings for 40 plus years. God destroyed the Amalekites divinely. God held back the Jordan River and led them across on dry ground. God brought down the walls of Jericho supernaturally. The Lord rained down hail from the sky and killed Israel's enemies. What has God done for you and I? He has done awesome things. We should be praising him by the moment. Be careful that we remember and not look back. What we see in verses 2 and 3 under remembering back to what God has done, we see that God has defended us. He's defended us. It's a shock. But God has always defended. He loves his creation. He loves you. He's defended us. Joshua says, verse 2 and 3. Actually, just go to verse 3. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. He's defended us. And again, I'm convinced that God defends us even when we're not even conscious of it. Wouldn't it be wild? This always freaks people out. But wouldn't it be wild if God for a moment would allow our eyes to see all the spiritual activity taking place in this room right now? Think about it. You're going, huh? Oh, yeah. The Bible says that there's a spiritual realm in between us, you and I. Between you and I, there are angels traversing back and forth. There's some of them sitting around, hovering around. The Bible teaches that whenever the Word of God is opened up, that angels come and they listen in. They desire to learn this book. God, it's bizarre, but it implies that he even teaches angels through what you and I are going through right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study taken from Joshua chapter 23 called How Then Should We Be Living? Or actually in a mini-series, if you will, a series within a series, taken from the final three chapters of this Old Testament book. We call this mini-series How Then Should We Be Living? It's part of Pastor Jack's fascinating exploration of this Old Testament historical book, and it's named after the man who led God's people in the retaking of the Promised Land. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, this series taken from the last three chapters of Joshua is available for you in a 3-CD set. It's called How Should We Be Living? And the subtitle answers it all, really, A Life of Enjoyment. Now, if you've been following along here on recent programs of Real Radio, you've learned that these final three chapters give exhortations and instructions to the people of God in three main areas of spiritual living. First would be to the congregation, second would be to our leaders, and third would be to us as individuals. Now here's our offer. How Should We Be Living? A Life of Enjoyment, all on three audio CDs, is yours for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to this broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now whether you call, click, or write, just be sure to ask for it by title. How Should We Be Living? Pastor Jack's 3-CD set. I really think you're going to like it. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll see where to point and click. realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.